number 13. You can't take your rocks with you. I may not be the greatest promise keeper in the world. I know I didn't do such a great job keeping my promise to marry Kay on her birthday, not to tell anyone I was moving. But I kept my promise to Uncle Jay. From the night of my stealing the Lung Chung turtle, I pretended that I was happy that we were moving. I didn't complain any more about the ugly gray walls of our new house. I didn't talk once about how creaky the floors were. I stopped mentioning the zombie hand. I pretended I was happy about moving away from our old house to the new one. I pretended I wanted to start all over in a new school. And you know what? Uncle Jay turned out to be right. At least a little bit. Once you start pretending you feel a certain way, you kind of do start feeling that way. Like, once I started pretending that I was happy to be moving, I kind of didn't feel as bad about it. I guess it wasn't that hard, considering that everybody back at my old school hated me. Well, everybody except Courtney Wilcox. And since we were moving and packing everything, our old house wasn't that great to live in after all. Everywhere you looked, it was just boxes, boxes, boxes. Who wants to live in a house full of boxes anyway? Plus, my dad took down my canopy bed and all my shelves to put up again in my new room, which Mom was giving a secret makeover. Since I'd never picked out new wallpaper and carpeting, she decided to pick some out for me. She said my room was going to be a surprise. I pretended to be happy about that, too. Uncle Jay, it turned out, was a good advice giver. It was amazing how my pretending to be happy made Mom happy, too. At least until about a week before moving day. That's when Mom noticed that my rock collection was still sitting in my bedroom, in the 10 paper grocery sacks in which I kept it. That's when she reminded me that I couldn't take my rocks to the new house, and that except for 3 or 4 of my best rocks, I had to get rid of them. "They're not rocks," I said. "They're geodes, and I'm going to sell them on eBay and buy a cell phone." "Whatever they are," she said, "you can't take them all to the new house, and there's no time to sell them on eBay, and you can't have a cell phone. You have to get rid of them now, Allie." So that was how I was outside lugging one heavy sack of geodes after another to dump into the big hole in the construction site behind our house when Uncle Jay pulled up into the driveway, and then he and a pretty girl with long black hair got out of his car. "Hi." The pretty girl walked over to see what I was doing after Uncle Jay said hi, then went into the house. He'd come over to help my dad take down my brother's bunk beds. As repayment for this, my parents were going to buy him and Harmony pizza for dinner. I was getting cheesy bread.
"You must be Allie. I'm Harmony."
"Hi, Harmony," I said. Harmony looked so clean and pretty. I hoped she wouldn't hold it against me how dirty I was. Returning geodes to the construction site where you found them is pretty grimy business.
"I was hoping I'd get to talk to you," Harmony said. "Jay told me what you did the other night at the Chinese restaurant, how you rescued his turtle, Wang Ba. I was wondering if it would be all right if I interviewed you about that for my intensive writing and reporting workshop. I think what you did was amazing, and it would make a really good story for my class."
I shrugged. "Sure," I said. "I guess so."
"Great," Harmony said.
To my surprise, she took a tiny tape recorder out of her pocket. Then she turned it on and said,
"So, tell me, Allie, in your own words, why you stole that turtle from the Lung Chung Chinese restaurant downtown."
Telling Harmony the whole story of why I stole the turtle was pretty exhausting, especially because the whole time I was talking, I still had to keep emptying my bags of rocks over the side of the construction pit. Then Harmony wanted to know why I was doing that. So I had to explain about my geodes and how my mom wouldn't let me bring my whole collection to the new house or sell it on eBay. I showed Harmony some of my best geodes, and when she admired how sparkly they were, I said she could keep one of them. But she said, unfortunately, it wouldn't fit in her purse. It was weird, but the whole time Harmony was interviewing me, I couldn't help noticing that Mary Kay Shiner and Brittany Hauser kept walking by my house. I don't know what they were doing. They weren't racing on their bikes or trying to do pop-ups or anything fun like that. Mary Kay has always been too scared to try a pop-up. They were just walking back and forth. Whenever they passed in front of me, they would start whispering and giggling to each other furiously. It was really stupid and kind of annoying. I tried to ignore them, but at one point, they started giggling so much that Harmony even looked over at them and went, "Oh, are those friends of yours? Maybe I should go interview them, too. You know, for another perspective to the story." "No," I said quickly. "Probably you shouldn't. They used to be friends of mine, but now they aren't."
"Really?" Harmony asked. "Why not?"
So then I was forced to tell her about the cat in the suitcase incident and how Mary Kay and Brittany weren't my friends anymore. But I asked that those things be off the record. I knew to say that, thanks to a movie Uncle Jay let me watch with him once.
"Oh," Harmony said. "I see. You must really love animals to be willing to risk a friendship over a cat like that."
"Yeah," I said. I didn't mention the part about how the truth was Brittany was a bat thrower, and Mary Kay just cried all the time, and being friends with them had been no picnic to begin with. "I guess so." After that, all my paper grocery sacks were empty. So I turned around and went inside with Harmony to watch my dad and Uncle Jay take the bunk beds apart, which turned out to be fun, because they said a lot of swear words when they cut their fingers on the screws, and Mom made them put a quarter each in the swear jar every time. By the end of the night, we had $5 to put toward a trip to the professional dog groomers for Marvin. He's going to look fantastic by the time they're done with him. I hope they put a ribbon in his bangs, even though he's a boy. Later that night, before bed, I slipped outside to go stand on the edge of the hole and say goodbye to my geodes without anyone else there to see me. Because saying goodbye to some rocks is sort of embarrassing. I could barely see them because the moon was just coming up at that point. I thought about how maybe when the new family who bought our house moved in, their little girl, if they had one, might come outside one day and find my geode collection and think, like I had, that she'd come across a huge treasure trove of diamonds or something. Maybe she'd think, like I had, that pirates had left them there. Maybe she'd think, I'm rich! She might be a little disappointed when someone finally broke the news to her that the rocks weren't actually diamonds, just geodes. But maybe, with luck, she'd turn out to be the kind of girl who could appreciate the beauty of a geode just as much as the beauty of a diamond, even if a geode isn't worth any actual money. Thinking about that maybe my geodes would make some other girl as happy as they'd made me, cheered me up a little. And I wasn't even pretending to feel cheered up. Knowing someone else might love my rocks as much as I did made giving them up seem a lot less sad. So I was able to say goodbye and go back inside with my heart feeling lighter than it had in a long time.